Tanya Yom HaKippurim. Tonight starts Erev Yom HaKippurim, Tav Shin Ayin Aleph. Rambam says, "Gimel Allah Gimel Luchos Tshuva." Just like the Shoykun, all Avinus Adam is Chuyos B'Shas Lisasoi. Tav Chol Shana V'Shana Shoykun Avinus Kalecha V'Yechmi Boy Olam Im Zchuyos. Every year on the Yemei Rosh Hashanah, the Shoykun Avonis Kol Echo Ve'Echo Echod, we weigh, we measure all the Avonis B'Yom Tov Shal Rosh Hashanah. Mishin Imsa Tzadik Nechtam L'Chaim. Somebody is found to be a Tzadik. He's inscribed immediately in the Book of Chaim. Mishin Imsa Rosha Nechtam L'Miso. And if he's found to be a Rosha Roi V'Avonis, he's Nechtam L'Miso. The Beinoni with Toilinoi Ad Yom HaKippurim. Im Osa Tshuva Nechtam L'Chaim Vim Lav Nechtam L'Misa. The Rambam learns the Gemara Rosh Hashanah in the Oifen HaMechudeshes. It's tremendous chiddush in the Rambam. But the Rambam says that a beinoni who's tluyim v'hoimdim, what the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, that the zayin amar Rav Kus bedoy shloisha svarim niftochem b'Rosh Hashanah, three svarim on the oifman of Rosh Hashanah, echot shal sifran shal tzadigim gemurim, v'sifran shal rishoyim gemurim, echot shal beinonim. The Gemara says, "Im zocha, Rabbeinu im zocha, nechtav l'chayim." The Rambam says, "Im osa tshuva, he has to do tshuva. If he doesn't do tshuva, is nechtam l'miso." Well, the Rambam, it's not enough to be moisiv schuyos. It's not enough to do a lot of mitzvahs. Zocho Rabbeinu is a masa tshuva. He has to do tshuva. When Yasser she make tshuva, he must do tshuva. To be zocho b'din, he must do tshuva. But the shaila is why. Why is it dafka tshuva? Why can anything else be machriya, this person? What's the pshat? Rabbi said, we're holding mamish less than 24 hours away from the Yitzumoy Shel Yoyim. From the Etzem Hayoyim Hazeh, the holiest day of the year, Shabbos, Shabbosoin, the day where a person can be free from the Satan, Satan be Gematria 364. HaSatan, 364. 364 days a year as Koyot Mekatrek to mess up on Yom Kippur, we could be free. What's the Yesoid? what's supposed to get us to move forward. These moments, a day before Yom Kippur, what's going to be mazazeos? The Yom Adin is miskarev, the Gemara Yom Adin is miskarev, the Oimeit. And as we get closer to the Yom Adin, the Soif Yom Adin, the Shaila is, are we getting more Ritzini? Are we getting more serious? Are we deciding more clear what our Mahala is going to be? The Minig in Klai is a Minig, the Aloha is broad and Aloha. The Mincha from Yom HaKippurim, we lay in Mafti Yoino. Mafti Yoino. What's the Indian of laying Mafti Yoino? Everybody knows they must spend so much money for Mafti Yoino. How much thousands of shekel, of dollars, are laid out on Mafti Yoino to have the schus to be the one who's called up for Mafti Yoino. Does anybody know why we lay Mafti Yoino? On this Yoim, Yom HaKippurim, at the time of Mincha, one of the most special times, close to Erev, close to the time of the Hilas Hashar, the last possible opportunity to lane, we're busy with Mafti Yoino. It's a whole Megillah Kimat. Yoino Hanovi, it's a whole Seder of the Tanakh, of Nach, a whole Sefer, Sefer Yoino. We should spend a long time laning through that Sefer Yoino, close to Hilas Hashar. And everybody's bidding for it. Everybody's a school of it. What does Mafti Yoino mean, Rabbi Sam? And what's the tafkid of this old Mareches, HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts us through? Why can't we just have a regular year like the Goyim, Mahavdil? Why can't we just go through day in, day out, try to do the many mitzvahs? They have 7 mitzvahs, they have 613, okay, these are mitzvahs also. But this whole process that we have to go through of tshuva, of change, of having a Yom HaDin and being judged every year. What's it all about? Why the seriousness? Okay, we want to get a little bit more enlightened. We want to get a little bit more serious about our Yiddishkeit. Very nice. But what's it all about? And what's the shofar blowing? We do every year on Moitzei Yom HaKippurim. L'maisa, the Torah also says to blow the shofar on the day of Yom Kippur, everybody knows that. Yom Kippurim, we blow the shofar once every 50 years in the Jubilee year, Yovel. There's a mitzvah to blow, a mitzvah I say to blow the shofar. In fact, we learned dinim shofar Rosh Hashanah from the mitzvah of Yovel. And yet, on Moitzei Yom Kippur, every year, the minhag now is to blow the shofar again. What's it all about? The Gemara Zogt, the Lashon HaGemara is Beinanim Tluyim V'Yoimdim. The Beinanim are Toli V'Yoimed. What's the double Lashon of Toli V'Yoimed? I mean, means standing. Toli means hanging. Literally, it means translated, means Toli V'Oim, he's suspended. He's in a matter of suspension, but what's the double Lashon? So the Witzel Petterberger the Yisoid. Of Tala V'Yoymeid means that you're be'emes standing with the noose around your neck. You're told by the noose, but your oymeid is still on the chair. They haven't kicked the chair out from under the gallows. He's totally, but he's still oymeid. He's not hanging totally, but he's had the noose around his neck. And the question is, why? L'choyre, he's a Beinoni. Why should he be l'choyre in a matzav that he's kemat fafalin, he's kemat lost? The teretz is that at the end of the year of Tav Shin Ayin, which ended Erev Rosh Hashanah, every single one of us was brought before the courts, whether we understand it, whether we saw or see it or not, but our neshamas went in front of Beis Din HaGadol, and the Yodeya Machshav the Yibedisha who sees deep inside of Machshavos, who sees to the essence, to the real McCoy, to the real Neshama, to the inside of a mensch. V'yoydeya Machshavos, v'yoydin. To know and to understand clearly what thing a bench is thinking. He sees where this person is holding. The tzaddik is holding. On the Yibei Shloim's team, dedicated to the Ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Dedicated to his Torah and his mitzvahs. Dedicated to his tafkid achayim. Dedicated to what he was created for. Accomplishing his purpose in this world. That's the tzaddik. Nichtav and nechtav achayim. Let him continue on his way to accomplish the shleimus that he needs to get to. But he's going in the right direction. He's decided to go in the right direction. The Rasha has decided already that he's not with the Yibayin Shalom. The Beinoni is undecided. He hasn't decided which team he's ready to join. He hasn't decided whether he's ready to dedicate his life to the Yibayin Shalom and to fulfill his tafki, what the Neshama came to the world for. Or to follow the goof. The Yibayin Shalom says, I'll wait. I'll give him a time period. But because he's undecided, and he hasn't joined the team, and he hasn't made a clear decision, he doesn't have a schus chayim. Because to have a schus chayim, to have a schus to live weiter, I have to understand why I want to live weiter. I have to be convinced of my priorities. I have to be convinced that I'm headed towards my tafkid. I have to be convinced what I'm doing in this world. My precious neshama came down. And if I didn't decide that yet,
b'schus chayim. I'm wishy-washy. I'm not sure which way I want to go. What's b'schus chayim? And the Rosh for sure has decided to go in the negative way. He probably doesn't have b'schus chayim. Abba Kodesh Baruch Hu B'roi Rachamov, with tremendous mercy, a tremendous desire, Shlo Yach Boitz V'mois HaMeis, that Kodesh Baruch Hu doesn't want death. He doesn't want the physical death. He doesn't want the spiritual death. He wants the person to accomplish his tafkid, what he came down for. So he gave his halik attack, who says she made tshuva. That Dirshu Hashem being mortal, he comes close. He's very near. The tefillos are expressing it. Avinu Malkeinu every day. We talk about Avinu Malkeinu, the Bereshit is our father. We talk about the closeness. The slichos every day, shame Hashem. And we try to get closer, we try to become veya. But then we come to a day, itzumo shel goyim. The holiness of this day is otzum ki hu noyim v'oyoyim. A day of purity, a day when ma'ana the guf. A day when the books are being sealed. The Bereshit wants to know, what have you decided? Where are you headed? They say an unbelievable mushal I just heard from Brian Waxman on one of his tapes. There's a story, a father had a child, a precious young child. And he saw an advertisement in the paper that in a foreign Medina there was a certain family that takes care of your child. They advertise, they'll take care of him, raise him up, teach him the right path of life. And he felt this child needed a little bit to get away, to experience a little bit of distance. And over there, he'll be able to learn properly in that environment. He sent off his young child on this journey. The child travels for days. He finally gets to the place. He gets inside the house. The Balabayas takes this child and throws him into a room. He says, maybe gonna have some food. And he, as he's saying those words, the door is shut, slammed closed. He's tired, hungry, thirsty, cold, sitting in this room, and he's waiting. Finally, he's getting very hungry. He starts to scream and to bang, but to no avail. A day goes by, two days go by, 2.5 days go by, and he's mamish, famished. The door opens. And the Balabas says, come with me. Can I have some food, please? I haven't eaten in days. Come with me. He says, shut your mouth. He slaps the kid across the face. The kid doesn't understand what's going on. And he brings the kid with him. And he takes a ladder with him. And he head out in the night. And he comes to a certain store. And he says, get on that ladder. What do I have to do? I want you to climb over the fence. Open it up. What's going on? We have to take the stuff. We're going to burgle the store. I'm not involved with a burglar. Smack across the face. He's starving. The weird hasn't eaten. Kid climbs in. Takes out the stuff. Being so scared and so afraid what he's going to do with him. He brings out the stuff to this Balabas. Balabas grudgingly gives him a piece of bread and some water. And he throws him back in the cell. Next night again, he brings him out of the cell. Takes him to a different store. This goes on for coming nights. Finally, one night,
He heads out to a jewelry area, a year of jewelers, and slowly he breaks in again, and they're going from one store to the next, and all of a sudden, by mistake, he trips on the alarm, the burglar alarm, and sets off the alarms, and everything's going wild, SWAT teams, everybody's coming in, and this kid is surrounded. And this was in the Medina, in the old time, in old England. The rule was, even if a kid stole 11 pence, something that was worth 11 pence, he would be hanged and sent out to the gallows. So the kid was thrown into jail, waiting for his court case to see how they would task him. Finally the day arrives, he's frightened and scared, and he walks up to the court, he sits on the chair, the judge sees him as an idol, looks like a fine boy. And he's starting to talk to him, and he looks out in the crowd, and there is that Balabas sitting there in the crowd. And the judge, after talking to him for a little while, says, "I see you're an idol in the Shama. You're a pure, nice neshama." He says, "Yeah, my father sent me." He starts telling the story. So he says, "Okay, I can let pardon you for this, but where's the goods? Where's all the stuff that you stole? Where's the merchandise?" He's about to reveal it. And there is that Balavan, that Balavan, standing there waving his hands. "I'll break every bone." Remember, Maram is saying one word, "I'll break every bone in the body." And he's petrified. "So what do you have to say, young child?" I can't say anything." They throw him back in the jail. Finally, he's been led out to the gallows. They put him on the chair. The judge runs over to him. "I see you're a pure child. Admit, and I can take care of everything. I can get you out of here." And the Balabas is standing in the back room, whispering into his ear again, "One word and every bone will be broken." And the child yells out to this Balavan, "What will I be afraid of now? There's nothing left of me. It's all over from here on in. I can admit all about the neighbors. There's nothing left to hold back. There's no reason to hold back." The marshal, he looked up, "You're the Shama. Comes down to this world, but he's not even sent down to this world for a tafkid, and is put into that big goof, the balabais, that goof that we have, and the goof smacks it around, come here and come here, night activity, in this place and in that place, getting involved in things that the neshama hates and starved. And the Shama feels beat up, and the Shama's yearning for some nourishment. And what's the nourishment of the Neshama? Taira! Tfila! Mitzvahs! Tfilin! The Eidik and the Shama feeds! It's spiritual nourishment, not only now, but forever, and after the Shama. From the mitzvahs, from the Torah that we do. But he gets beaten up by the goof, and the goof slaps it. And takes it around to this place and to that place. And it starves it. So it comes to a matzah that the Shomba feels so starved, he doesn't know what to do. But then comes the Yom HaKippur. Then comes a day when the Shama doesn't have to be afraid anymore. Because what does it have left? It's clean void. If he doesn't decide now to admit to the Aziz Sachet, to leave the Chaton, to throw it all off, to admit to the mistakes, then anyway he's going to be able to leave this place. What is it has left? He's clean bond.
That's what we're holding. One day before Yom HaKippur, when the Chasimo of Sifrei Chaim, the Sifrei Beis. What are we afraid of now? To leave it behind. And the Kodesh Baruch is waiting. He's waiting for us to make that move. It doesn't have to be a move. Total change, 360, those usually don't last. But it has to be a move towards the direction that I should be heading in. Hachzireinu of Yuhu, the bracha of Tshuva, Hachzireinu, turn me around. A person sometimes going in the wrong direction. He doesn't realize it. He could be going for miles. And he's a man who doesn't admit, will never ask for directions. His wife is nudging him. Come on, Harvey. Just ask. No, Mary. No, Susan. I know I'm going in the right way. I've done this trip 100 times, and I end up 45 miles out of course. Because Harvey's sure that he's going in the right direction. He's way off. He's going south. They have to be going north. They're heading mamish toe in the wrong direction. So the Chofetz Chaim Hachzireinu of Yuma Sivatzel, turn us around. 360. Let's get in the right direction at least. We might be not be able to recover everything, but let's get in the right direction. Let's make that decision to which side we're on. To where should we be headed? To what lifestyle should we should live? To what should we be dedicate our lives? To the koichos that we have that are going dormant because our government is slapping us around to their activities. And that whole neshama, which is truly who we are. The star. And it's not getting what its nourishment. And it's not accomplished what it was sent down to for. And it's slowly dying away. And that's what Mahti Yoyna tells us, Avoisa. You know what we lay in Mahti Yoyna, Avoisa? They look at Mishnah Berurah and the Shatzian, very uncommon for the Mishnah Berurah to tell us these words, Avoisa. But the Mishnah Berurah in Hilchos Mincha on Yom Kippur says in Shatzion, powerful words. What is the Kriyas HaTorah that we daw lain? Umafti b'yoyne shemidabim in HaTshuva talks about Tshuvas Ninveh v'yoyt she'en yecholim livroyach in Hashem Yisborah. No one can run from the Yiddish. Yoina Hanavi was given a tafkid. He had to go prophesize and give Musa to Nineveh. He didn't want to go. He ran away and got on a ship to try not to get any Nevuah over there on the sea. Hashem sent a storm. He was thrown into a whale. He was thrown into overboard, swallowed by a whale. If anybody would think at that moment that he would be kind, it would eventually happen, the eventuality that Yoyna would end up being prophesied in Nineveh, the chances were nil. And what ended up happening is that Yoyna prophesied. Zok to Mishnah Berurah, Yehodam Choshev kam upon him, the Yoyish al Atzmoy, Shein Yochel Attaki B'Shum Oifen, he can't fix up what he's supposed to came down to this world for. The Alkane Tomid is having the Oifen Echor. He continues in his way. He continues with his stupidities. He doesn't leave the Narish Kain that he's involved with because he thinks, I can't do it. And he says, I don't care. I'm not going to decide to become to change.
This is who I am! This, I grew up in Flatbush! And this is how we act in Flatbush! I grew up in England, and this is how we act! I don't change! Not even for the Queen of England! I will tell you who! Jedi Saif W!
The end is being burned from the words like that. Komasha Kunishpova wrote to me, Nafshon Shisake, but you came down to this world in the Sake, Mukhrachu Sake, you must do it. The Yoga Oipam, Upam and La'oilamazah, you have to come back again and again and again and again. So why go through it again? To die. At least both Chibat HaKever. People don't realize that when the golden lights of Chibat HaKever, when a person goes, they put you in the ground after Misa or Boisai. We don't like to talk about these things, but in the Akshav Enosai, why don't we talk about this? On Tu B'Shvat. Tu B'Shvat Higiya Chag La'ilanot. Erev Yom Kippurim, they put you in the ground, and it's Chibot HaKever. That means when they put you in the earth, the Tzar at that moment, the Gemara going right is Lo Yo'umen, because of the Tzar, he doesn't have Chibot HaKever. It's Lo Yo'umen Ki Yisupa Yisur. The going right, they write about it, it's not to be imagined, the Chibot HaKever with the worms and everything that goes on with the goof. With short tzoros, and then you have more tzoros. And come back into this world to go through the mother's womb and have all the tzar and everything going through with the teeth again. You gotta have your teeth come in again! And have them pulled! And all the Yisurim! Why? Fix up what you need to fix up. To get on with it and enjoy. Why go through all the pain that everybody has to go through? Amy said today in the morning. Everybody has to have Yisurim, but it's this type of Yisurim, more financial issues, and that, and pains, and sicknesses, and Rahman al-Islam. Why go through it again? Hirayim Yoyna. Dr. Mishnah Brush, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ratzo, Me'ito She'yelach V'Yinabe, he wanted to go in Yinabe. He didn't want Yoyna. He went to the sea, he got swallowed by a dog, he says this beforeish. He was in the stomach of the whale many days. And according to everybody who sees the seas over here, they would think it's not Shayach. He's going to be down there. But Soif Dovar, Ratzon Hashem came out. Came who are the Be'enov. V'al Yavticho, Zokhtem, Zokhtem, Helek, Meshavu, that's Pshad, the Mishnah. V'al Yavticho, Yitzucho, Shashor, Beis, Mozloch. Death is not your savior. It won't all end with death. If you didn't do what you were supposed to do, if you didn't be kind, but you Shmuya and you Yankee and you Shmuya, each one in their way, each one with their tafkid, if you didn't do what you're supposed to do, you're going to have to come back and suffer the consequences, because you're a Helik and a Shama. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants the Shleimus of that Shama to fulfill its tafkid. And if you don't do it, if you didn't do it, if you became, who knows what, the richest man in the world, but that wasn't it. If you went out and you didn't stay stark to Torah and Mitzvahs, you could be the most famous gentleman on earth. You gotta come back. The next time you might be a worm. Or the next might be a worm, you might be a cat. Or a dog. Or who knows what, the Messiah is. The Shabbat is not into Gilgulim, we never see him say these words of Boisai. But here, Master Yoyna, he tells us what it's all about. But that's what we're doing, learning Master Yoyna, by Mincha. We're learning Yaftinor, it's a school of the life, because it's supposed to give a person the right type of perspective on what type of life he's supposed to live. Doing what the Kodesh Baruch Hu wants you to do, accomplishing the task. Finding out, having rebellion, following the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and step by step, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants step by step. He doesn't want you to jump, it never lasts. But to decide clearly in these 10 days, by the Sefer Mekipur, you pray to Shabbat. To change. I'm ready to make that decision and come over to your side. I'm not a baby! I'm in your team. I'm working for you. I'm doing your rasa b'chai. I might get chopped up. I might be pushed down. But I'm working for you. I'm living my life according to how you want me to live. We mess up. We'll mess up through the year. But our derech is going to be a derech of Torah mitzvahs. That's what Kadosh is waiting for. That's what Maftiro is about. And that's what we have to do tshuva. Because tshuva makes an easy decision. Just do more mitzvahs. You haven't decided yet, Shnankala, where you want to be. You haven't decided if you want to live the life that I sent you down here for. You haven't made that decision. What's your Zchus Chaim? Why do you have a Zchus Chaim? We just have to stick up the flag. We have to show the Ribbono Shel Olam we want to come home. We show the Ribbono Shel Olam that we're ready at least to accept this on ourselves. I don't know what it means exactly, but I'm ready to accept it. I want to be back with you, the Ribbono Shel Olam. I will return to my source, to who I truly am. That's what tshuva is, says the Mabit. The word tshuva means literally return. We are returning to. What's this return business? What is the returning? Look, the Mabit, because we are neshamas. Our neshama comes from the Ribbono Shel Olam, Zechelek Elokam Imah. And all these things that we do wrong are pulling us away and further merachik us, distance us from that kesher that our neshama really has to the Ribbono Shel Olam. So tshuva means to return, to go back, to return to our source of who we really are. You know when we blow the shofar? That's what Yovel was all about. Yovel was a time of Achzoras HaSodos. The Sodos went back to the original owners. The Eved who was taken into slavery went back to his original status. Everything in the year of the Jubilee year when they blew that shofar returned to its original source. That's what Yom Kippur represents. We are going to return. We make that step to return. And the version is weird. That's your signal that we're ready to return. And he's dying for it. He wants it so badly. Like a father had a son who distanced himself. In the book of Spiro brings a story that I once read many years ago of how much the Ribbono Shel Olam is waiting. A few stories he has. Maybe one will tell over at Ne'ila. There was a story of a boy. He was now a little bit man, more of a man. He was getting away from the Port Authority in New York to Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. For a 2-hour ride, he wanted to settle into a seat. All the seats were full. So he stood. And there was a successful lawyer sitting in a seat nearby. And he was dressed beautifully in a pinstripe designer suit. Put his raincoat in the small compartment above his seat, and he pulled out a state-of-the-art laptop. Satisfied, he settled down for the trip. As the doors were about to close, he sees this boy, this 19-year-old kid, running into the air, hopping, the last minute jumping on the train, disheveled looking, all messed up.
no seats are available. So he grabs onto the plastic hook, this young boy, Jason. He was working on his computer, this lawyer, Jack, when this boy caught his eye. He looked totally lost, so sad, nowhere to go. So he asked him, maybe you want to sit down, a seat that opened next to Jack. He said, it's okay, Jason said. I'll just stand here. And he stared straight ahead into space. Half hour passed, and he offered him the seat again. Couldn't get back to his work, wondering what's going on with his boy. He had kids of his own, 15 and 12. And he offered him again to sit next to him, and he refused again, but eventually his feet became weary and he sat down. And he asked him, maybe you want to talk? Something bothering you? And he just stared blankly, this young boy Jason, out the window. And he said, if I want to talk, I'll let you know. And they made eye contact. I could see into the soul of this boy that he was very, very troubled, pure sadness. And finally the boy opened up, a little startled when I was 15. I was the type of kid who was into electronics and I was successful. My parents wanted me to get together with my friends. It would bother me about it, but I just wanted to stay in my room and play with my computer zachen, get on, go work with these electronic zachen. And one of the advantages was his ability to create and invent different things. And that's precisely what I did. I created my own invention and made a mint and became a millionaire overnight. By the time I was 17 years old. Of course, I became very popular. My friends all wanted to be with me. And my parents warned me about these groupies that are just going to use me for my money. But I had enough of their advice. I didn't need them anymore. I told them for once they should stay out of my life. They pleaded and begged with me, but I just backed out. Jack was hanging on to every word that Jason was telling him now. And he shifted in the seat a little uneasily. He felt this guy, Jason's pain, parents' pain, commanded the pain. Jason continued, money helped me find a wife. We got married immediately with neither of our parents by the chasana. 9 months later, we had a child. Everything seemed to be perfect. We were a young couple living in a beautiful, beautiful Manhattan apartment with a precious little baby. Then one day, a shady character came into my life. He offered me the deal of a lifetime. It ended up being a scam. Just like that, I was poor again. When his wife discovered everything, she ran away with the child. Thrown out of the apartment, he lived in the streets, on the benches, bench to bench, trying to find scraps, being thrown over all out of places, doom slammed in his face. Finally, starved and ashamed, I stretched out in the park, this man's gonna die. All of a sudden, a man tapped me on the shoulder, and he didn't know who he was, he sat me down, he gave me a place to eat a little bit, and he talked to me, and he said, he told me the most important thing, that the only people that really care for me still are my parents. I thought, how could I use them like this? As long as I could remember, I treated them like the worst enemies. Now I needed them, I should use them. I felt remorseful. I sat down to write them in tears. Tears blinded my vision, stained my words. I poured out my soul to them. Going through the letter, after all, I sure has caused them so much pain. I told them now I needed them in the worst way. I didn't have the courage to ask them to take me back. What if they refused? So instead, I asked them a favor. I informed them of the train that would bring me back home on the 3rd of June at 7:30 in the evening. Approximately 50 yards from the train stop, there's a large oak tree. They found it within themselves to forgive me for my past sins. I asked them to hang a small white flag on one of the branches of the tree.
And if not, don't just stay on the train and continue to the next stop and it's over, found. Life is over. He was spent, Jason now was spent, he just had gave out with his whole soul to this complete stranger. But the stop was just ahead. I didn't have the courage to look out and see if the flag was there. Jack Crow held on to this small, scared boy. He had cried throughout the story. He was anxious to do what he could for this kid. The train slowed and the stop was near. He put his head between his ears, knees, and he was shaking with fear. 100 yards, 75 yards, 50 yards. Jack looked out the window. The train almost stopped. The wheels were screeching to a stop. Jason looked up, his red eyes. So what, tell me what you see. Jack stares at Jason, smiles. The entire tree is covered in white cloth. Nislach! Chol Adas Yisroel! Kid Cholo, Mishkogo, Yitani Shoylo, really want to be good. Yishama really wants to be good, we want to change. Shalom, dress in white. This love, Shalom says, and the Yom Kippurim, if it's a mess, then this love, the whole atas is soil. I forgive you. In the whole of Mishkaga. It's all a mistake. It's all the goof. It's all that glamour. It's all the outside world. It's all a push for the Yetzirah. But who are we? We really want to be close with you, Rebbe. We really want to be near. We want to come back to your embrace. We want to be in your arms again. We want to see that tree all white. That's what will keep us back. That's the purity of the whiteness. That's the Hashem who was a kid that we stand and scream out with our healing computer and the shamas after a whole day of starving that goof that's beating us up. And we push it aside. And now the shamas comes for us, burning for us. With that decision. I always say the story. Once a yeshiva bacha, a fan writes in his book. During the day, he had his yeshiva life. True story. But at night he frequented different bars. He frequented different places. He went to places that weren't becoming for a yeshiva bacha, but he just couldn't help it. Ever since he was a little kid, he had a love for drums. Since he was 3 years old, he would beat on the table with a nice beat. When he was six already, the spoons and the forks, he couldn't leave it by his seat. Yoina Motza Boy Manoyach. It sounded like a symphony orchestra with this kid, with this little spoon and the big spoon. By the time he was 10, his kid parents had to give him drum lessons, and he was obsessed with the drums. So by the time he was 16, 17, 18, 19, learning in yeshiva as a nice, looktable from Bachel with his Borsellino hat, and his Gucci, fake Gucci belt, and his Babasino shoes, and his fancy suit, yeshivish suit, by day. But at night, he frequented all the clubs in Manhattan. And he frequented those clubs. And sometimes they would give him an audition, they would let him play a little bit. and he got into it. And we try to get an idea, an idea. And one night, seemingly one of the greatest things happened to him. He was playing, and a big name manager of one of the big name bands walked into the club and heard him playing. And after the night was through, he walked over to him and he said, "Kid, you got some good stuff. Let's have a talk in the room." Before he knew it, he was going to be the secondary drummer to one of the greatest bands, to one of the famous bands that all his friends knew, that all his friends listened to. When the Mashkiach didn't really know what they really thought, they were listening to Shweki. But they were listening to Bob Schmecki. And Bob Schmecki's band was famous. And he was going to be a backup drummer for this unbelievable band. And the manager said, "I'm not playing any games over here. The offer is nice. The salary's pretty good. And if you make it by us, you never know, kid. This is the start to fame." And in his mind, this is what he dreamed of. To make it big with the main famous band, Bob Schmecki's band. My friends will think I'm great. Famous. Fortunes. Girls. Everything. Life. How it could be lived. How the goy lives his life in success. He gave him the contract and he said, "I want you to start from the day. We need you ready from the first day," it says in the contract. He looks at the contract. He looks at the numbers. It's a serious contract. He looks down and he sees the starting day is a Friday night. He's played with bands. He's listened to Goyish music. He's maybe had to talk to girls on the phone, but never has been Chal Shabbos. And all being caught up in the glory and the fame, didn't make him really think about this. He thought he could get away with it, and here is the choice. He said to the manager, "I can't sign just yet. I have to think about it." "Okay, kid. You got a couple of days, but I need to have an answer very soon. By this Friday night, we need you." He went back home. He didn't know what to do. He played with his shinui. It won't come out so well. He played with his toenails. It doesn't really go. To do it through the back, it won't be. He has to play on Shabbos. He's thinking back and forth. It's Chil Shabbos. He doesn't know what to do. And for all the major decisions in his life, he knew the right thing to do is to go to your Rebbe and discuss with him. And he had a Rebbe that understood him, and he had a smart Rebbe. And he came to the Rebbe, and the Rebbe knew that if he told him straight out, "Don't, how could you mechal Shabbos? That would be just too much to tell him right." So he said, "You know what? I want you to go home. Take a piece of paper. Make a big line across the paper. And write the pros and cons. And come back to me." The next day, the Bacha came back. He said, "Rebbe, I have my decision." And the Rebbe saw that on the side of the pros was a whole list, a major list of about 10 things why he should go and join this band. Okay. Fortune. Success. What I was waiting for my whole life, to be so successful with drums, money galore, everything that I have, those concerts, a life with homes, a life with whatever I need, whatever I wanted, whatever I dreamed, with joining a band. The pro was very, very long. But on the con side, there was something real. It was one word. Maybe I've decided. Not to be Chal Shabbos. Why? The Rebbe's eyes caught. The word was written on the side.
Eternity!
Netzach, Netzach. Forever and ever. So, eternity. That's what it's all about. We all have our own messianas of this life. Everybody here has that messianas. Daily and a lifetime messianas. We have things that attract us. We have things that pull us. We have things that stop us from reaching the one person that we can be. The great Hiluk HaNeshama that we can achieve. We all have it. We have things pulling us, telling us that these things, there we're going to have success. And there we're going to have. It's not so much what the Ribbono Shel Olam wants, but it'll be Gishmak. What about eternity? What about yourself? What about who you are? What about who you can accomplish? What about who you could be? What about the real you? Eternity. That's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us these days. Contemplate the seriousness of life, the reality of life. The goyim don't have Rosh Hashanah. They don't have a Sashmi Chu. They don't have a Yom HaKippur. They don't have a day to focus, a day to separate ourselves. It's not a day only just to cause pain, it's a day of Shvisa. Remove yourselves from that physical world. Become spiritual for a day, but for the purpose of realizing who you really are. And when they blow that shofar, Moitzei Yom HaKippurim, the sign of freedom, you're finally free. You finally showed yourself that you could be free. You finally showed yourselves that the Yetzer Hara that attacks me, that pushes me, and beats me up. That pushes me here, pushes me here. I pushed him aside for one day, and I tried to be the real me, who I really could be. And I'm going to focus, and it's going to take a while. It might take a lifetime. But I've decided, 1,000%, that you, Ribbono Shel Olam, I want to be with you. I want to see the white flags. Because my soul, and my body, and all who I am, I want to accomplish. I want to be the person I truly am. That's what you're looking for. That's what it's all about. All the tears. All the crying. All the closeness. The crying. What are we crying about? The chiyus. Why does a person cry? Crying. One thing of crying is, the Pshimshon follower says, the sweat of the soul. His soul is turned on. But there's another reason we cry. The person cries when he loses something. A lost one, a loved one, Rachmana Litzlan, the person cries. We lose something precious. Whatever. divorced. Divorced. The opportunity this year to be who we really want to be. Person that we really could be. That's not us. That goof who smacked us around. But he put us down. He didn't let us be who we could be. And when Rosh Hashanah we stood in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we said from the Arizal, that when the Shomer starts crying, when you start crying uncontrollably on Rosh Hashanah, you're standing in front of the Kiseh HaKadosh, then you don't know why you're crying. You're crying because you're standing in the face of reality, of the MS, of the realism that they show you who you are. When Avram went to the Akedah, the Pasuk said Hashem called out, Vayoyme Avram, Avram! One of the two Avrams! There's a picture of Avram and Shamayim who he could be! Down here in the physical world. Hashem told me after the Akedah that he went and he took his only son and he sacrificed him on the Bein Mishpeah to do the rod of Hashem. The Kovish is Rachamah, the old back all is Rachamah, Lazo is Ritzaylah, to fill his Tavke Achai. At that moment Hashem, Avram! Avram! I see the Avram that's in Shammai is the same Avram down here. And all of us have a picture of who we are and who we could be in Shammai. Now I know you might even go up. I see that picture. I start to cry. We think that it is. Because we should love Shmuel. Yaakov, Yaakov. Yisrael, Yisrael, who you could be, so great, so amazing, and what are you getting yourself all messed up in, dirty yourself in all that mud? It's Bechia, he's crying for the loss. That's the tears that go uncontrollably in Arizal, I believe, on Rosh Hashanah, when you stand there. But Hashem gave us that Sefer Shemei Teshuva and finally Yom HaKippurim. But we stand without that bofar, that goof who smacked us around. We stand without pushing off all the timers of Olam Hazeh. All the timers are Asur. But not because they're Asur, it's a Shvisa. Just leave it. And stand in the pure holy you and taste for a day. For one day, what it could really be like. And then, it's not going to be over. When you blow the shofar, you'll feel the purity, the holiness, the freedom. And now you're going to have to work again. But with the realization that I really tasted today who I am, who I can be, and who I want. Because I decided this day of Yom Kippur that on Hashem's team, I'm going to be in Hashem's embrace, I'm going to return to Hashem. That's what Yom Kippur says. That's what Yom Kippur is about. Making that decision eternally. Making that decision that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is my God. I'm going to follow his ways. And I'm going to mess up. But the decision where I'm headed is in that direction. That's the simcha that we say. That's the tremendous simcha that we say. I mean, Moitzi Yom Kippur Leich Echol the simcha. Ki Ein Simcha Ki HaTorah HaSfeikis. What makes us depressed? What makes us so sad? Why are so many people called psychologists? Because we're battling them. whole time with the Sveikis. Omer HaYetzer, Omer HaSeichel. Says the Yetzer, says the Seichel. The Seichel says the right thing. The Yetzer says, come on, don't listen to that shmooze. It was moving, it was stirring. But Motzei Yom Kippur, we already planned our trip to Eilat, because we want to have a lot of fun in the coming week. And we got to go to Tel Aviv to see all the beautiful sights. We got to stain on the Shomer as soon as possible. We got to get it all black again. It got too white. Don't listen to that Meshuggah no crying in front of everybody. That back and forth, that wishy-washiness, Omer HaYetzer, Omer HaSeichel, which causes depression. But in Simcha Gadol is HaSveikis, we make that decision to be with the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, to be pure, to be holy, to go on that path at least, to start the process, just a little bit. And we said many times, it just means the Kabbalah that I'm going, I want to be a tzaddik eventually. It's not going to be overnight. We're going to make the right decisions. We're going to make a Kabbalah to change. We're going to hang out with the right crowd, Ben Asmanim. We're going to go and try to stay in the right places. We're going to make a small Seder from Yom Kippur to Sukkot. Those decisions are what makes us, separates us from the rest, and keeps that decision from the Mitzvah of Kippur, from Yom Kippur, from Seder Shmei Teshuvah, the wholesome. It helps us continue the year in the Matzah of Zakai. The Bereshit understands that we have a tough time, but so we say, Rosh Hashanah, the Doris are even harder. But to commend the Bachar, this Yeshiva and Boisat, that this is Seder Shmei Teshuvah, they're on the bus to go to town. The Shama told him no. And he got off the bus, And he came back. And this generation, Hashem sees, we still have people like this. The Bach of the Yeshiva told me this story. The decision to say no. I'm not going to do what every Yeshiva Bach does, Moitzei Yom Kippur, and go with all the schmutz. I want this Yeshiva Yom Kippur to have an impression upon me for a long time ahead. I want to feel the Gershom's embrace and stay close to him as long as possible. And once we've tasted that embrace, the Siyata Dishmai is there to help us with that. There was another Bacha that was having a hard time, he had been dismissed, and he wanted to go back to America. Deep down, he really wanted to do tshuva. The nice that Shehoya Kodesh Baruch Hu made him. He couldn't find his credit cards. He was supposed to go back. He decided to go back. He lost his credit cards. He couldn't get into a certain hotel. And he decided to stay for Yom Yoroin. And he said, the Shemaya, the Kodesh Baruch Hu sends the person who wants to do tshuva. If you make the right decisions, Kodesh Baruch Hu will find you a meaningful trip. He'll find these friends to go with. Think what it does to your mishpachas for my son. Think what it does for Klal Yisrael. Think how the Persian looks down on his nation. He wants to give out good years. He's closing the gates. We choisim. Chosmeinu b'sefer chayim tov. Chosmeinu b'sefer b'mish.
Avinu!
That moment, is he the close Tata? But he's not really the Tata. I just need him to give me a good year, get me some more money for this extravagance and the vacation that I'm having right in 2 days. And my parents should send me the money, should be able to have a good time in the Sinai Desert. Where's an Avinu? Oh, Rabbi Hashem, I feel so close to you. Al Kainu, you're powerful.
Chosmeinu!
shidduch, for my friend that needs a shidduch, for my cousin that's sick. Shlach lefor shleim alachoy nefach. Your tefillah, you that are so close, you that have made that decision to be close, the power of that tefillah is amazing. Especially with Ben Tadra, who Be'etzim is the greatest kin to my country. From a small kvutza here, but from small people sometimes, from a small kvutza, the world can change. The Zohar writes somewhere, I saw some of the machine is there, just once it over, the 10 Yidin that get together and decide to chew the Shleima and bring the Shias again. But out there, people that didn't come to tonight, Shmos. Probably laughing all the way to the back. Oh, we got away, we missed the shmooze, this. But what kind of year they're going to have this year? I'm not saying everybody can tell the truth. What kind of mood they would be on your kids? It was like, I spoke to myself tonight, my son. Me and myself prepared. I hope you didn't mind. But it was like, to get yourselves a little bit prepared, to get yourselves ready for the greatest possible day. And the Shmuel writes in one place that a person could be zeicher in 1 year, not just for that year, for 70 years of his life. He could be nigzer in one good year, because of Shom Fakir for many years to come, not only for 1 year. Maybe every year it'll be decided if it should continue. But one powerful year could be an unbelievable success. This guy could come in fear. His parents could become wealthy. His parents should have success. They'll find jobs. There'll be success in the mishpacha and shibuchim. There'll be bracha v'atzlocha to his friends and family, his neighborhood. Who knows what was that? Who knows? Just who really, really knows? Tov Shirayim Aleph is coming upon us. We're more than 10 years sitting here on both sides. If we make that decision, we decide with the answers, with the dips of our hearts, to come back. Who knows that maybe we can be the inspiration to bring about this year of both sides. Iran is threatening nuclear. Bombs, missiles. The Arabs around us, Syria wants back the Golan Heights. No one is going to defend us against them. Not the Israeli army, not the American army. There is no might. No war that we want, says the Gemara, the Elohim was Torah Shalom, the Yushalayim. The Koyach. Stand our enemies. And to see Mashiach this year, my son, it depends upon us. Prove of Kabul. Make that move. Who knows, my son? Maybe we'll make that spirit throughout God as well. There'll be a spirit of Emes and Tshuva, not just that Tshuva, get me past the Elos and get to the orange juice, but the real Tshuva for the depths of our hearts. Side that we're not a Bengali, we want to be tzaddikim. And the Baruch will look down upon his tzaddikim and look down upon his children, his close children that have come back, that he's been moichel, that he's put up those white flags. I will feel his embrace. And I'll say, I don't just want to have this embrace this one time. I want you back by my table. I want you by my table. I want to dwell amongst you. I want my base of Mikdash rebuilt. I want to come down and dwell amongst you. I will see yet this summer. This is all of us coming up with our love. Singing and dancing. But not just us, our parents and our families, everybody with simcha, with the sick people with cancer, people dying in the hospitals, the people waiting for life. People suffering from your suit. We'll walk up and stand up. People come. come out from their graves, our great parents, our friends that we know that died in those accidents, sick and died from deaths, come out from their graves, all standing and walking to Yerushalayim with the roof and Asuk, singing, V'nei Yerushalayim, Yerach Kodesh, Meir V'yameinu, singing, V'on HaBeis HaMikdosh, singing, V'sachasen Ha'inenu B'shut Chotzioim, singing, dancing. She has a kind of behavior.